the limelight.
When healthy items are unaffordable, people are vulnerable to malnutrition and diet-related diseases, says William A. Master, author, in an article published under the heading, 3 billion people cannot afford a healthy diet. Stay tuned for the details of this article, please. The COVID-19 pandemic has been blamed for price spikes for corn, milk, beans, and other commodities. But even before the outbreak, about 3 billion people could not afford even the cheapest options for a healthy diet. Recent analysis of global food price data reveals that, as of 2017, the latest available year, around 40% of the world's population was already forced to consume poor quality diets by a combination of high food prices and low incomes. When healthy items are unaffordable, it is impossible for people to avoid malnutrition and diet-related diseases like anemia or diabetes. The remaining 60% of the world's 7.9 billion people could afford the ingredients for healthy meals. That, of course, does not mean they always eat a healthy diet. Cooking time and difficulty, as well as the advertising and marketing of other foods, can lead many people to choose items that are surprisingly unhealthy. Distinguishing between affordability and other causes of unhealthy diets is a key step toward better outcomes, made possible by a research project we are leading at Tufts University called Food Prices for Nutrition. The project provides a new view of how agriculture and food distribution relate to human health needs, connecting economies to nutrition in collaboration with the World Bank Development Data Group and the International Food Policy Research Institute. To measure diet costs globally, the project linked World Bank price data for about 800 popular foods across 174 countries to the nutritional composition of those items. Using the prices and nutritional values of each item, there are computed calculations. The least expensive way of meeting national dietary guidelines and essential nutrient requirements. For affordability, scientists compared diet costs to World Bank estimates of what people typically spend on food and income distribution within each country. For example, it turns out that almost everyone in rich countries could afford enough ingredients for healthy meals, such as rice and beans, frozen spinach and canned tuna, bread and peanut, butter and milk. But most people in Africa and South Asia could not acquire enough of these foods for a healthy diet, even if they were willing to spend their entire available income. Food prices go up and down. But many healthy foods like fruits and vegetables, nuts, dairy products, and fish are consistently more expensive than starchy staples, oil, and sugar. The high cost of the healthier food groups often forces people in poverty to eat less expensive items or go hungry. Countries can make it possible for everyone to afford a healthy diet by creating more higher-wage jobs and by expanding social protections for low-income people. example, rich nations have Supplemental Nutrition Assistance Program, or SNAP, which helps low-income people buy some of the food they need. Safety net programs of this type reduce food insecurity, protect jobs during downturns, and are especially important for child development. Beyond higher incomes and safety nets for the poorest, food prices can be lowered for everyone through public investment in new technology and infrastructure to improve food production and distribution. Agricultural innovation and investment in food markets can save lives and drive economic development when the new technologies and other changes are well adapted to local conditions. We believe that the diet cost data produced to inform global agricultural policies gives people sharp new insight into the world food situation. Previous efforts to monitor global food prices focused on tracking a few internationally traded farm commodities, monitoring conditions in places at risk of famine, or keeping an eye on consumer price indices, meaning the cost of healthy diets using locally available items, focuses attention on consumer prices for the healthy foods that low-income people might buy if those items were affordable. With better data, governments and development agencies can steer their countries to where they want to go, which one day could make it possible for everyone around the world to eat a healthy diet.
Ask the followers of the remembrance if ye know not.
You're listening to the program The Key on IRIB English Radio with Shiraz Hossein Agha, a graduate of Islamic Seminary of Rome and a PhD in philosophy.
Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim. Welcome to our program The Key here at IRIB English Radio. Today we're going to be speaking about the necessity of prophethood, the necessity of the divine revelation, and why it is necessary and obligatory upon God to send His message to humanity through the prophets and through divine revelation. We were examining this problem from the point of view that human beings, in order for them to be happy, in order for them to be fulfilled and to achieve felicity in this world and in the hereafter, they have to have a knowledge and understanding of their Creator. They have to have a knowledge of God. This knowledge of God is not something that they can arrive at on their own. They have to be assisted by God Himself. He has to introduce Himself to human beings so that they can understand who He is, so that they can understand who He is, and so that they can be fulfilled and happy spiritually and mentally and physically and in every way in this world and in the hereafter. We said that there was an objection here that some people raised, and that objection was this. We saw and we see that in history there were human beings who, without the assistance of divine revelation, were able to arrive at the same conclusions that the divine revelation teaches us, right? They thought about the matter, right? And they came to the conclusion that God exists. They thought about the matter, they came to the conclusion that God is one, that He has knowledge, that He has life, that He has power, right? That He's the creator of the world, and so on and so forth. So they were able to arrive at the same conclusions that the divine revelation speaks about without the assistance of divine revelation. Right? So this shows us that there is no need for prophethood and divine revelation. We examined this question from a number of different points of view. Today we want to examine it from another point of view, and that's this, that let's say that these human beings did arrive at this conclusion, these conclusions, and they arrived at the same conclusions and the knowledge of God that Revelation speaks about. But we have to examine how did they do this? How did they use their faculties of reasoning and their minds and their intellects to arrive at these conclusions? None of these human beings arrived at these conclusions straight away. First of all, it took time for their intellects to blossom, right? They didn't know about God when they were children. When they became adults, they started to ponder over the matter. They arrived at this conclusion. Secondly, these human beings, we see, when we look at the history of their thought, these great thinkers, they didn't arrive at these conclusions straight away, right? First of all, you see that one of these thinkers, let's say a certain philosopher, in the beginning of his life, he might have been an atheist, or he might have been an agnostic, right? He arrived at certain conclusions, which he later on found out were untrue. This process of reasoning and thinking that he went through before he became a monotheist, before he became a Gnostic, before he became a mystic, right? It was a long process. Certain thinkers only arrived at these beliefs in the end of their lives, towards the end of their lives, right? So this shows us this was not something that they immediately arrived at. So maybe in the beginning of their lives, they were misguided. They were misguided. They were on the wrong path. They didn't believe in God, or they didn't believe that there was a human being had the ability to understand God. And maybe they were polytheists, but later became monotheists, right? So the question arises, what about the times before they had arrived at the belief in God? Was there not need for divine revelation before that? We can't say that God can leave human beings to think about these matters on their own and arrive at these conclusions at the end of their lives. No, human beings need to be spiritually and intellectually fulfilled throughout their lives, right? So there is a need for the divine revelation. Thank you for joining us here on The Key. We were looking at the necessity of prophethood and revelation. Until next time, assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh.
That was Shiraz Hussain Agha, a graduate of Islamic Seminary of Rome and a PhD in philosophy, on the program The Key on IRIB English Radio.
You can also send your questions to English Radio at irib.ir.
Is there any other way to get familiar with Islam besides mainstream media? Try IRIB English Radio. Thank you. log on to our website, www.parstoday.com/en.
Today.
Half an hour to shower, put on my face, put it all together, top up with a milk tea, and out the door. That's my morning routine. Could take less time. Not for butterfly children, nor for the mother getting her autistic child ready for his care center. It's a full working day from 9 to 4 for trainers and trainees. That's up to 12 kids and youngsters daily. Here in Iran Autism Association, we are faced with medium to severe autism, but hope prevails. Repetition, habit, belief is the order of the effort mantra to improve trainees' conditions. There's plenty to be said on the matter of ASD and EB and obstacles they meet along the way, namely sanctions. So stay with me, Leila Faramerzi, on Iran Today. Autism is a neurological disorder, usually graded in severity along a spectrum, ASD. It causes problems with thinking, feeling, language, and relating to others. And so, medications prescribed serve as a means of chemical restraint rather than having a legitimate therapeutic purpose. That is to say, kids or sufferers are treated for conditions often associated with autism, including anxiety, hyperactivity, and aggression. We are talking anything from sleep disorders to violent meltdowns. The 7-year-old Iran Autism Association started its program for severe cases 6 months ago. Girls are in mind too, but resources are still limited and demand on the part of families has been higher for boys to receive care outside home. I got to talk to all sorts of professionals at either center of the association, namely athletic young trainers. It was touching to see them put their energy to use in childcare with a complication. Here's an expert opinion by Mr. Tavakkoli.
Medication as part of the treatment for autism can manage some of the symptoms. We provide occupational therapy for sensory, motor, and cognitive functions, speech therapy, behavioral therapy, and also music and art therapies such as painting with watercolor and so on for children so they can acquire skills by the age of 7, enter the education and school process, and learn reading and writing skills. Our interventions will help the children to easily perform simple and repetitive tasks after a certain age.
Sensory issues autistic people have dysregulate them further, which makes training all that much more sensitive. Say if a caregiver yells at a child in an effort to rein in behavior, it's likely to have the opposite effect. We met Mr. Fallah, a lead trainer, as he was working hands-on. His background is sports.
Every child is different. One can reach a particular level in 1 month, another might take a year. If you consider 10,000 autistic children, every single one of them needs their own special care. It's not like one guideline applies to all. That's what makes things more challenging. The coach's decisions at the moment matter. The decision made at the moment could be a right or a wrong one.
In this episode, I'm telling of how sanctions have hampered the inflow of medical supplies and pharmaceutical raw materials to this country. Also, of how they've helped domestic corruption further degrade the Iranian economy, which means families can't readily buy medical supplies, even if available. Autism and the Iranian Autism Association are our case study of the day. A case study of deprivation and survival by self-help and domestic help. But autism is not the only condition at stake. Ms. Javadi is manager of the association's health unit. She shares her medical outlook with us.
The families are procuring the medications by any means, although the economic problems and the massive inflation in their prices have created challenges for accessing the medicines. Currently, families are facing problems in getting their hands on medicines used for seizures, including Depakote and so on. Medicines prescribed for hyperactive children like Ritalin are among those the families report to have become hard to find or rising so much in price. For example, a pack of Ritalin, which used to be sold for 45,000 tumans, is now 125,000. This rise in price for a medication that the child is constantly using is too much.
EB, epidermolysis bullosa, is a rare hereditary disease or condition. It usually manifests in infancy or early childhood with very fragile skin that develops blisters or wounds like third-degree burns. There is no cure, but that means the flow of medical equipment for pain relief and blister control must never stop. With age, however, symptoms of mild forms of the disease or condition, rather, can improve. Our skin is our protective cover. Imagine being uncomfortable in your own skin 24/7, or every hard, flat surface being a hazard if you bump into it to chap your skin. I got to talk to Mr. Golpayagani for a former program on EB. He is executive director of EB Home for Butterfly Children.
The U.S. claims that food and medications are not subject to sanctions. As the father of an EB patient, as well as 750 other EB patients, I can tell you that it is not so in practice. I am feeling the sanctions. I am feeling the sanctions, for example, in dressing here for EB patients.
EB patients or butterfly children live with constant pain and stress, with levels varying, of course. They often require extensive bandaging from head to toe and are at risk of malnutrition and other problems. Bathing and wound management can take 3 to 5 hours at a time. We know what will happen if they don't bandage up. Blistering and flaking actually can occur mechanically as the sufferer is just sitting down to force out a chat. The most painful disease you've ever heard of. That's how dermatologists, US dermatologists, have described EB. That's a genetic mutation that occurs in every one in 30,000 to 50,000 live births globally. But each butterfly suffers a pain enough for the whole of humanity and can't be overlooked. As long as there's life, it requires relief. EB patients are referred to as butterfly children because of the delicacy and fragility of their skin, which can grow over. Relief is what they seek, as do their families. The only relatively real relief is through specialized foam dressings that reduce and protect blisters. The best are made by the Swedish pharmaceutical company, Mölnlycke. For Iran's 800 to 1,200 EB sufferers, accessing the supplies became close to impossible since the 2018 US pullout from the JCPOA and crippling sanctions that ensued. But then in May 2020, UNICEF made a surprise announcement that a German-financed shipment of wound dressings from the Swedish company had been procured by the UN and shipped to Iran. The shipment, which weighs just under 6 metric tons, was to be a one-time shipment. But it came at a welcome time, given corona-inflicted travel restrictions which stopped respite in the form of wound dressings and bandages coming in with travelers. To see how far our kids of today's focus have come, let's go back to the Autism Association. U.S. sanctions and restrictions on the export of drugs and medical equipment to Iran have shortened the breadth of all patients suffering from special diseases and conditions such as cancer, hemophilia, epilepsy, and thalassemia. Mr. Mohammadi is on the Iran Autism Association Board of Directors, and he is himself father to an autistic son.
The U.S. claims that medications aren't subject to sanctions, but in practice they are, as evidenced by the pharmaceutical companies who are saying they're having problems importing medicine. The importers and producers are facing problems bringing in raw materials. They're also concerned with foreign currency exchange rates. We might suddenly realize there's a drug that plays a key role in treating autism, although some might object, arguing that there's no cure for autism. But children are using medications, they need to improve their attention and concentration. They need to calm down as they're mostly hyperactive and are restless. This means that we need medicines used for managing other symptoms for autistic children, which are quite expensive.
Thing is, Mr. Mohammadi thinks it's paramount to import drugs for quality. That's contrary to our lady doctor's opinion. But they agree on one thing, that it matters which company, Iranian or otherwise, the kids buy from.
You see, for example, the Depakine pills that are produced overseas are way better in terms of quality compared to their domestic counterparts, both in terms of controlling restlessness and lack of attention and focus. On the other hand, we are experiencing different effects from the same medicine which is produced by two companies. For example, the risperidone, which is being produced inside the country, especially by the Subhan pharmaceutical company, varies in its effectiveness. I've seen that in the case of my own child, who responded very well to risperidone made by Subhan, but not to that of Dr. Arbady's company. We never realize why this difference exists.
You see, Iranian pharmaceutical companies are also working very hard. But what's important to us is the accessibility of the medications for the families. We don't want a family of a child who's displaying behavioral problems all day long to be unable to buy the medication they need in their own city. We don't want them to have to travel long distances to Tehran or its nearby cities just to purchase the drugs. This is heartbreaking. It would be very helpful if the pharmaceutical companies can meet the minimum needs of the families and distribute their products across the country.
Although less than before, there's still plenty of vitamins and ordinary drugs in the market, but the U.S. is making its utmost attempts to prevent Iran from purchasing vital medicine and necessities for, say, cancer patients. Helping kids with debilitating conditions means going as far as preparing them for a measure of independence in society and holding down a job even. It may sound ambitious looking at Iran's unemployment rate of around 10% and more, but then looking at paintings by some autistic individuals, it doesn't seem too ambitious after all, except that shortages can get in the way of progress. Shortages with medicine and facilities, say.
Autistic children are working in production lines everywhere. You can see that in our country too. Some are answering the phone, doing simple tasks such as typing. They are not distracted while they work. Or they can be presenters in a place like a museum, showing the visitors around. Because that's a repetitive task and they might have to do it 20, 30 times a day. This is a simple task for which autistic children can be easily trained to do. They are usually quite punctual. Don't talk on their phones or get distracted by their cell phones like other people, and are generally more organized in their jobs because they are doing the jobs based on their specific talents.
I asked how that would help a society with less than satisfactory employment levels for people unafflicted even.
When we talk about employment for autistic children, some might say there are many people unemployed in Iran, let alone autistic ones. But it's not a matter of who's normal. These children need supportive regulations, and those laws have been written for them. The laws have been enacted by the parliament and communicated to businesses that can use these children as their workforce with special conditions. Part of their salaries are paid by governmental organizations, so they can be employed. We can't assume that all rights are ours, and we are the only ones entitled to go on the streets, have a walk in the park, visit amusement parks, and go to cinemas just because we are healthy and don't suffer from any disability. An autistic child has the right to vote. They and their fathers are paying taxes. They are also paying municipal taxes.
Plenty more to see and hear, but first a quick media review to see what other news outlets have to say. Here it is. In talking of U.S. sanctions, naturally expectations will be directed at the U.S.'s first man. Common Dreams reads, to end collective and cruel punishment, Biden must go further on sanctions relief. The devastation and suffering unleashed on Venezuelans and Iranians as a result of U.S. maximum pressure sanctions has been unfathomable. Iranians continue to suffer from the consequences of maximum pressure sanctions that have devastated the economy, paralyzing the poor and pushing the middle class into poverty. According to the Wall Street Journal, economic sanctions led to an upsurge in unemployment and a depreciation in Iran's currency, the rial, by 80% against the dollar. The rising inflation in Iran, accompanied by dangerous rhetoric from U.S. officials, makes it increasingly difficult for Iran to import essential medicine and medical equipment. A report from Human Rights Watch found that unilateral sanctions disproportionately impact Iranians with rare medical conditions, such as epilepsy, leukemia, and those suffering with chronic eye injuries from exposure to chemical weapons used during the Iran-Iraq War. The report further notes that women have suffered severe complications after cesarean section performed under non-standard anesthesia, the only anesthesia available due to sanctions. Now, Iran's health sector may have suffered U.S. sanctions, but it's also had achievements, according to Iran's UN representative. Tasnim News reads, UN endangers Iranian nation's health towards political goals, says the envoy. Iran's permanent envoy to the United Nations identifies the United States' illegal and inhumane sanctions against the country as a means of jeopardizing the health of the Iranian people in pursuit of political purposes. Majid Takht-Ravanchi, that is, made the statements at the UN General Assembly's high-level meeting on AIDS. He spoke on Iran's accomplishments in the area of HIV-positive patients' health and those who are affected by the phenomena. The official noted how Iranian scientists had managed to enable prevention of the disease's transfer from affected mothers to their children and also contain the disease's adverse effects. Despite the notable progress, Iran is still suffering from the sanctions that prevent its access to medical products, technology, and cooperation with the international financial institutions, he said. Now, what's to be done when autism combines with corona? IRNA says adults with autism in Iran vaccinated against COVID-19. According to IRNA, Iran Autism Association reported in its website that a group of autistic adults over 18 years old were vaccinated against the coronavirus disease, getting their second dose of the vaccine. People with autism are more likely to be affected by different pandemic diseases. In addition, quarantine is much harder for them due to the complicated conditions with which these people are entangled. As a result, their parents and supporters prefer to keep them at home despite all difficulties. Many of these people need ongoing rehabilitation. COVID-19 disrupts this routine. The closure of schools, the lack of classes, and rehabilitation sessions for these people have all caused many problems, like exacerbation of nervous symptoms and behaviors that have made quarantine much more difficult for them in case they get affected with the virus. Therefore, thanks to the efforts made by the Iran Autism Association in collaboration with Atiyeh Hospital and the Ministry of Health, Treatment and Medical Education, Adults over 18 years old received their corona vaccines in three groups. That would be it for this section, but do stay with us. In charges and parents are looking to the greater government, including the legislature, for more help, as well as to their own capabilities. 5-6 years ago, some parents had declared they wanted to leave Iran for countries with nursing homes for autistic people. That's an astronomically expensive option with slim chances of acquiring foreign residency.
We engaged in talks with the parliament, especially with the health commission. They helped us sign into law a national autism document, which we drafted. The document was prepared by Iran's Autism Forum scientific experts, but had been stalled for years in the parliament. That's why we started our work and asked again. They helped us eventually, but the national autism document, with all the aspects considered for it, became a two-page document dubbed the National Autism Program, which was announced and signed by three ministers whose organizations are known as being in charge of autism.
Others said they were willing to work together and help establish a nursing home in Iran. Dr. Momeni in Sweden volunteered. And presently, many parents are involved and extend their services beyond their own suffering to help train classrooms full of kids. We have a case right here, predominantly active even after losing her own child, perhaps because of losing her own child to an indirect autism-related accident.
I don't know. These are some matters that go back to the human beings themselves to decide what they are going to do now that they are living in this world. What was their purpose for being born? If they're here to make themselves useful and take steps to help their peers, they need to understand that this is something that could happen to them too. I think we should want something for others that we want for ourselves. We need to take this step.
In 2019, some 62 centers offering treatment and rehabilitation services to autistic patients were operating under the Medical Sciences University's supervision nationwide, which mostly offer services to those financially struggling patients, a supportive package including occupational therapy, speech therapy, behavioral interventions, and counseling services have been scheduled to be provided to those children and their families by the aforesaid centers. Tehran Times quoted the Health Ministry's head of the Department for Transplantation and Treatment of Diseases at the time, saying his ministry had doubled the subsidies allocated to 4,000 autistic patients under the welfare organization's coverage, granting 10 million rials per patient. For an update, I refer to authority.
Well, the costs are very high based on our average. If a family wants to continue the child's behavioral therapy, it needs to pay at least 5 million tumans per month. This figure is too much for the families, given that many of them aren't covered by any insurance or services, so their problems will grow by the day. Or take this, for example, that most autistic children need to be anesthetized to receive their routine dental checkups, and that anesthesia is too costly for the families.
A problem that definitely grows with age, as Mr. Tavakoli reckons, is education and training.
They are growing up. They are teenagers and adults now. One of the problems we are facing is that we don't have high schools for these children. Most of the schools are secondary or early high school years. The second issue is that there aren't enough centers where they can learn professions. Children who have a moderate to good performance can learn professions and arts so they can enter society and be employed. Also, we don't have care centers for those who have weak performances. The number of those centers in the country could be fewer than your fingers.
It is estimated about 320,000 autistic individuals can be identified in Iran, approximately 35,000 of them being children under school age. That's up to 7 years of age. In the month that followed, Iran's welfare organization reportedly launched an online autism screening website for parents with children aged 2 to 5 years to refer to. Children found susceptible to autism were to be referred to the nearest welfare offices to confirm the disorder and receive subsequent rehabilitating services.
Our figures show there are about 30,000 autistic people in Iran. but considering the global rates, which may be true for Iran too, there are many more cases in Iran. It's curious how many cases are concentrated in some areas, but no one has conducted any pathological study to establish the underlying cause. One example is the Khuzestan province. I was born there. There is a registered population of autistic people there, which is larger than anywhere else. What's the reason? We don't know. The same goes for the northern parts of the country.
In January, it was reported 90 thalassemia patients lost their lives last year due to U.S. sanctions and a lack of drugs. In addition, another 60 young patients have died in the current year. A Human Rights Watch report from October 2019 references a letter sent by Swedish Mölnlycke to EB Home. That's Iran's largest NGO supporting EB patients. The UN report confirmed the company had decided not to conduct any business with Iran because of US sanctions. According to EB Home, at least 15 butterfly children had died over the last year. As for our ASD trainers, they have bitter complaints but high hopes of their own.
Our main objective is to be able to integrate autistic children into society. We don't want the children to be separated or create a facility to keep them in. As much as we believe the elderly have to be present in the society as a consultant and not be confined to nursing homes, that's why the goal is integration.
That's it for today, as we take leave of our Autism Association and Friendly Network. Thanks from the whole team, but do return to the box at the same times next week and each week after, as you never know what's on. Bye for now.
The light.
Singapore unveils one of the world's biggest floating solar panel farms in a bid for quadrupling its solar energy production by 2025. The farm is as big as 45 football fields. It includes 122,000 solar panels. The panels are designed to last for 25 years, and drones will be used to assist with maintenance. The farm is located on a reservoir in western Singapore and will generate enough electricity to power its 5 water treatment plants. It puts Singapore among the few countries in the world with a water treatment system fully powered by green energy. The farm can reduce Singapore's carbon emissions by 32,000 tons annually. Floating solar panels perform up to 15% better than conventional rooftop panels. That's because of the cooling effect of water and that shading from other buildings does not affect them. Singapore is currently developing 4 other floating solar panel projects. Maybe kittens are considered the cutest baby animals by many of us, but just wait to see this baby hippo, which was born during a full moon. The male cub was born in a Mexican zoo last month. He weighs 30 kilos upon birth. Since then, he has spent most of his time bonding with his mother. The vets in the zoo say he is healthy, playful, strong, and a bit hyperactive. They say some of his habits are surprisingly similar to that of a horse or a dolphin. Generally, reproduction among zoo hippos is not a common practice. Therefore, newborn calves are signs of high quality of the lives and habitats of their parents. A zoo in central France is welcoming the birth of a male giraffe after 15 months of waiting. The calf is named after Melman, the giraffe character in the Madagascar movie franchise. He was born on Sunday in a Bouval Zoo park. He is 170 centimeters tall and weighs 55 kilograms. Zookeepers say Melman is a special baby.
A giraffe birth here. It's our second birth since we've had the group of females established for a few years. So for us, it's still quite an important and exceptional event because it's not every day that we have a giraffe birth.
The giraffe keeper, say, Melman, stood on his feet for the first time 45 minutes after being born. Since zoos have opened in France, visitors can enjoy seeing little Melman playing around with his mother. The birth of the baby giraffe is good news for wildlife preservation, as according to estimates, the number of the animal in the wild has dropped by about 30% since the 1980s.
The issue of marine trash has long worried scientists and environmentalists. Now a French engineer has invented a robot to help clean ocean waste. The Jellyfish Bot is a remote-controlled, electric-powered boat that helps clean rubbish from the surface of the water. It's 70 centimeters long and 70 wide, almost the size of a suitcase. The robot can collect everything from plastic bottles to masks and even oil and petrol. Despite its wide-ranging utility, Jellyfish Bot has a rather simple mechanism.
To collect trash, you have to do something as simple as possible, because otherwise, if we put too complicated mechanisms, it can get blocked and things can get stuck in the system. We designed the robot with a slide mechanism that goes towards a net, so we fill up the net, we take back the net, and that's the end of it.
The trash collecting robot is being used at around 15 ports in France, lightening the workload of local cleaners. It has also been exported to countries including Japan, Norway, and Singapore. The makers have also developed an autonomous version of the boat.
Malaysians at a vaccination center in the city of Kuching have witnessed a surprising scene. A T-Rex turned up to get his COVID-19 jab. Fitness instructor Kenny Sia dressed up in a dinosaur costume to amuse people, doesn't he look fabulous, and protect himself. Sia said he made the decision to lift up the spirits of frontline health workers, is exhausted by vaccinating over 5,000 people a day. People rushed to take pictures with him, hailing his appearance and historic. Funny. A giant 3D cat has risen to fame in the Japanese capital, Tokyo, bringing joy to citizens amid the COVID-19 pandemic. A massive billboard featuring the cat has been installed in one of Tokyo's busiest districts. The realistic-looking cat on a 4K resolution screen appears every few minutes between advertisements. Depending on the time of day, the cat appears differently and sometimes meowing at people walking by. The companies that set up the billboard hope that they can cheer people up during the dark era of the coronavirus pandemic. The display has already caused a frenzy in the city and among the social platforms, with many expressing joy and amazement at the technology.
Peru is full of natural wonders worthy of appreciation in each of its regions. A zoo in the capital Lima has now unveiled an incredibly cute and adorable Andean alpaca calf to attract visitors amid dwindling zoo goers due to the coronavirus pandemic. This fairy baby alpaca named Paquita is just 1 month old and was introduced to the public on the eve of the 200th anniversary of Peru's independence from Spain. The zoo has also displayed its families of llamas, alpaca, and vicuña. The three are members of South American camelids biological family and are traditionally valued for their soft and warm wool. They live in the Andes Mountains, which lay thousands of meters above sea level. Peruvians are proud of the history of wools associated with these species, which have common ancestors with camels.
The Light is a short bulletin in which we bring you a lot of interesting news in different fields like animals' life, cultural events, funny trending news, and more from every corner of the world.
German tightrope walkers have set a new world highlining distance record by crossing an Arctic valley in Sweden. The group tiptoed a distance of more than 2 kilometers between two mountain peaks in Lapland barefoot. The line they walked on was set at a height of 600 meters. The four members of the team walked the line one after another successfully, despite challenges including the wind and long distance. It took 2 days for the team to rig the line between the two peaks.
A herd of elephants migrating in China have been making headlines for months. Now they have once again attracted attention. Experts monitoring the animals this week noticed two females engaged in a dramatic fight over the herd's leadership, where they kicked and bit each other. The tussle soon ended after a male elephant succeeded in calming the belligerent giants. The fight happened in China's southwestern province of Yunnan. The herd embarked on a lengthy journey last year after escaping a nature reserve and has since trekked hundreds of miles. The elephant's migration is the longest one in China's history. A distinctive feature, no matter of humans or animals, often catches our attention. You might have heard stories about the big fat cow or other animals you love the most. Here we bring you a story about a cow for her not being big, but for being the smallest. Rani, a 23-month-old cow, is being reared on a farm near the Bangladeshi capital, Dhaka. She is only 20 inches tall and weighs 26 kilograms. Local vets say the little Rani has no physical problems, but will no longer gain any weight or height. The owner believes Rani is shorter than the smallest cow in Guinness World Record. The record for the smallest cow so far held by a 4-year-old red cow named Manikyam from the Indian state of Kerala.
We found on the internet that the smallest known cow is living in India's Kerala, which weighs 40 kilograms, but ours weighs only 26. So we believe ours is the world's smallest. That's why we applied to the Guinness World Records. They replied to us saying they will investigate within 90 days.
The tiny cow has also caused tourist frenzy in the South Asian country as thousands are flocking to Dhaka to take a glance despite coronavirus restrictions. The owner says over 15,000 people come to visit her in just 3 days. The dwarf cow has also gone viral on social media. A nearly 22-meter-high sand sculpture in Denmark has set a new Guinness record as the world's tallest sandcastle. The sculpture has been constructed with nearly 5 tons of sand. It's made in the shape of a triangle, and a wood structure stabilizes it. More than 30 artists from different countries have worked on the project, carving intricate details on the castle's wall. Its makers say a nod to the coronavirus pandemic was also made at the top of that construction. They say that's because the virus has controlled the lives of people over the past months. The sand piece broke the previous Guinness record that belonged to an 18-meter-high sand castle in Germany. An adorable baby elephant has become a web celebrity after she was caught on camera using a muddy hill as playground slide. Footage shows the little elephant excitedly approaching a hill with a smooth path leading downward. The baby then goes on all fours to have the time of her life sliding on her belly down the hill, taking full advantage of rain. The toddler, named Yishong, is only 3 years old. She lives at a rescue center in China, one of the major habitats for wild Asian elephants in the country.
French company has taken the process of pizza making to a whole new level by creating a robot chef. The robot named Patsy is completely autonomous. The machine now working in a pizzeria in Paris is capable of taking orders, making a pizza from scratch and serving it. Having three arms, the robot can make 120 pizzas in an hour, which is 13 times faster than a human chef.
We are in a very fast process with a perfect control of time and quality, since we have a constancy offered by robotics and then an environment that is quite cool and relaxed. The idea is also to spend a few pleasant minutes washing the robot while you wait for your pizza to be made.
It took designers 8 years to develop the machine, which is claimed to be the first pizza-making robot in the world. They hope to use the technology to open robotics-run restaurants that can function round the clock. In China, scientists are happy that the world's first artificially bred leaf monkey is doing well 2.5 months after being born. The rare monkey was born at a research and protection center in Wuzhou City in April. Its birth took place several days earlier than the due date, and the baby was relatively weak at birth. However, thanks to its parents and caretakers, it has grown in a normal way. Scientists say the baby monkey is now in a good condition and its behavior is totally normal.
It is very important in terms of the cytic value. It has been growing up normally. In addition, we have found that it has a curiosity about the world and always shows some exploratory and learning behaviors. In general, it is in very good physical condition.
The center's scientists say another leaf monkey that was born in April is doing well too. These monkeys are the 8th generation of leaf monkeys that have been bred in captivity. Their successful births have raised hope amongst the scientists of saving a species that is one of China's most endangered wild animals. Imagine the hungriest you've ever been. How many hot dogs could you possibly gobble down in 10 minutes? An American man has done 76. Professional eater Joey Chestnut broke the world record in the International Hot Dog Eating Contest on Brooklyn's Coney Island. The 37-year-old managed to devour the first 30 hot dogs in only 3 minutes. The impressive win marked his 14th victory at the annual contest. He held the previous record, which was only one sausage sandwich, less than his 2021 record. Astronauts at China's space station have successfully carried out the country's first spacewalk. Two astronauts exited the core module of Tiangong to examine the station's robotic arm. They also elevated a panoramic camera and tested new generation spacesuits. The mission lasted 7 hours. According to the China Manned Space Agency, another spacewalk will be conducted soon. In June, three Chinese astronauts blasted off to become the first crew of the Tiangong station. They will remain there for 3 months.
IRIB English Radio.